And I believe we are live. Hi Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's cold outside, but it's nice in here, yeah.
Yeah, I can assure you it's very cold in my own place as well. We do Emacs Conf always in December, and that's always when it's particularly cold where I live, and I assume where you live as well. So don't worry, we'll try to keep you warm with interesting questions. But first, thank you for taking the time out of your busy high schooler life to make a presentation about Emacs. Do you have any thoughts about the process of recording something for a conference? Because I assume it's one of the first ones you're ever doing.
Yeah, this is definitely my first conference. I think it was not as difficult as I thought it would be. I just recorded in my basement and prepared some notes beforehand. I think it was definitely helpful to have Emacs as a tool for that, because I made my presentation with Beamer.
Right. I mean, it's amazing to see so many of the tools, because, you know, you've shown Emacs, obviously, but you've shown Beamer. You've shown tools that are about twice as old as you are yourself, which is amazing when you think about it. But I think many people in the audience can actually relate to your discovery of those tools, because we were pretty much, I mean, a lot of us were your age when we started playing with those tools. So it's like there's a little bit of a nostalgia that we feel looking at your presentation, because we can see the excitement behind everything you've touched. And that's great for us, because it brings us back maybe 10 or 20 years in the past, and for others, perhaps for 30 or 40 years. So that's kind of amazing. How about we start taking some questions? So just for timekeeping, we have until 20 of the current hours, which is 8 minutes and 30 seconds, to cover as many questions as possible. Now, if we might take the first one. So, Corwin, can you scroll down to the questions? Yes. And I'll be reading you the questions just to make it a little easier for you, Daniel, to answer them. I use Orgrim for notes and find it very useful. Have you considered it?
Yeah, that's actually where I started out for taking notes. Then I moved to Dittnote because I didn't use all of its features. For Orgrim, I meant. I also didn't really like the dependency on an external database. It just like took a while for stuff to index if I moved it between like using sync thing between my laptop and my desktop.
Yeah, it's definitely something. I mean, I co-maintain Orgrim, so I'm fully aware of this problem with it. And yeah, sync thing is not great to sync a database, a SQLite database that we use. And I mean, whichever solution you use, whatever works for you is good. Orgrim was kind of thought in terms of scalability for people who had, you know, thousands of notes with thousands of links inside of them. So perhaps it's not adapted to your note-taking style right now, but perhaps it's something to keep in mind. You know, it's many tools and you use them when you need to. Corwin, if we can switch the questions, I'm switching to the second one. Do you use the getting things done methodology as part of your org workflow?
So there's an interesting thing about that. I started with org first, and then I heard about getting things done. So I didn't exactly design my workflow with that in mind, but I sort of reinvented it, I would say. Not really, but I do a lot of the similar things, but I don't have the different to-do states like I don't know an example because I didn't really look into it that much, but it would be like next is the next thing you're going to do. But I don't think I do it exactly that way. It's sort of like a how I described in the demos where I just write what I need to do and then schedule it and then look at my agenda for the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, part of the beauty of using Emacs, org mode, or using a methodology like getting things done is that I think you need to find room in the method or the tool for you to organically do what you want. And it's okay to not do everything in a getting things done methodology. Like, I know a lot of people take issue with the tickler file where you're supposed to put stuff to review in the future. Like, for instance, if you don't want to work on this particular topic right now in your life, you decide, oh, I'd like to revisit this topic maybe in 6 months. And then you have this tickler file, which has entries and folders for each month of the year. And when 6 months comes and you find yourself at the beginning of the next month, you open the file and you see, oh, there's the task I left off for later. A lot of people don't like to do it this way. Some people really like it. But part of the beauty of having tools which are very modular, like Emacs and OrgMode allows you to have, well, you just adjust the method for something that works. And there's something to be garnered as well for applying those lessons to how you organize your life, not merely in front of a computer, but also how you manage your task elsewhere at school, high school, or elsewhere. All right, moving to the next question. OrgFC and OrgDrill are Emacs OrgMode-centric flashcard solution. Have you looked into them?
I think I looked into OrgDrill, but I wanted to use Anki because of I wanted to use it on my phone, but then I realized I had to pay for the app, and then I didn't want to use it on my phone anymore. But it's just something that I used before without org mode for a little bit, and then I liked it. Yeah, it works pretty well with org mode, so I didn't find a reason to switch to one of those because I might be not at a computer one day and have to learn something. So
yeah. That's something that you call premature optimization. And if you continue as a software engineer at university, you'll get to hear plenty of this. But yes, Anki is also a tool that I've used a whole lot in my learning journeys, be it about languages, be it about literature, be it about whatever, really. And it's a very good tool. And I recommend people to look into it, especially since they've released a new algorithm to manage learning a little differently than the old one. If you're familiar with SuperMemo, I really invite you to look into the advancement in Anki in recent years. Moving to another question, what do other students think about your approach? And what are they doing instead, if anything? And your teachers, what do they think?
So for other students, they usually are just confused about what's going on when I show my computer, because they know that I use Linux, but they don't know what it is. So they're just assuming everything on my computer is I'm either hacking or like doing some Linux thing. And I don't really bother to explain it to them. So that's kind of what this talk is for, is so I can refer people to a pre-recording if they are actually curious instead of superficially curious. But for teachers,
I love it. See my see my prior videos. That's wonderful. Pardon me for breaking in, Daniel, but I just since I want to say wonderful presentation. I love your spirit, your tone, and great thought there.
Thank you. For my teachers, I think I showed them this year for the first time because they didn't it didn't really interact where they would see what happens, because if I like write an essay or something, I usually paste it in Google Docs. But recently I got more confident and would just export to LaTeX. I did that for my physics labs. And my teacher is pretty satisfied with the results for the math formatting. So I think they don't really have a problem with it, where it's actually more convenient, maybe.
I mean, that's really great to hear. And if you continue at university, which I'm almost sure that you will, your professors, you'll be pretty much using the same tools as they are. So you'll find yourself in like-minded crowd of people once you get to university. We are a little short on time because we need to move to the next talk in about 1 minute. There are still some questions, and Daniel, I would invite you to stay and maybe answer them in a room so that we can gather as many of your answers as possible. But before we leave, I just want to give you the opportunity, if you have any last words, to share them with the crowd.
Well, for the students who may be watching this, I hope that you give Emacs a try. And good luck if you decide to use something else, because it probably won't be as great.
It's very good to be so young and to already be convinced that Emacs is the best thing. For some of us, it took us many decades to reach this conclusion, and I'm so happy to see young people. I used to be a teacher, by the way, so I used to teach people your age, but I'm so happy to see people your age interested in Emacs because it makes me hopeful that in the future we'll have people carrying the flame and standing on the shoulders of current people. So thank you so much, Daniel. We'll be seeing you soon. We wish you good luck with your studies. And for Emacs Conf, we'll be moving to the next talk in 5 seconds. See you soon.
And I want to reassure you, we'll post the all the Q&A in full when we do post this video.
Yes. So Daniel, as I said, if you want to stick around a little more with Corwin to answer the questions, that's all fine. I'll be moving to the next room to get ready for the next talks. So thank you, Daniel, and I'll see you later.
I
All right, the cops are gone. Wait, no, just kidding. No, but would you, if you'd like to walk through a few more of these questions, I'd be happy to record that. You're not obligated to do that. You could also, the pad's there. You could just type out your answers or whatever you prefer to do.
I guess I can answer them still.
Cool. So we're here. What was your biggest source of frustration, friction, confusion when getting started?
I honestly don't really remember. It somehow just clicked one day and I figured it out.
All right, takes us pretty naturally to the next one. How did you come across Emacs? What got you into it?
I get asked this question quite a bit, so I sort of have a prepared answer. It was similar to how I stumbled into Linux, where I heard of it before, but I saw like screenshots of it or something on Reddit, and I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. Maybe I'll look into that. And then like on YouTube, I would see videos about Doom Emacs, and then the Doom Casts video. I think that's what really got me into it.
Okay, I did my best to capture that. So what's the situation with respect to the mobile use, if that's applicable? And Orgly is sorry, was it not Doomcast? Is it System Crafter? Sorry if I botched the note.
Oh yeah, System Crafters was also one of the things I used for getting into Emacs from scratch, as well as oops,
Got
sorry
it.
if my dog is barking. And I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but Protesilaus, I think that's how you say it.
I always say
His
prot
videos.
just to get me out of that problem for what it's worth. I'm not
Yeah.
sure that I can say it properly either.
Yeah, his videos were really great for getting started with each individual component of something. Like, there's entire videos just about completion and about a tool called Embark. And like, I would just watch those videos while I was doing the dishes or something. And like, I would learn a lot from that.
Awesome. I love it. What about the mobile? Sorry, did I get that question out there already?
Oh no, but I don't use Emacs or any work mode things on my phone. I have an iPhone, unfortunately, or I guess fortunately that I have a phone, but unfortunately that it doesn't really work with a lot of this technologies that I use. But for org files, I couldn't really get it to sync over without using a paid app, and I didn't really look into it that much because I have a computer with me almost all the time. Usually I carry around a notebook, and if I really need to know something or remember it for later, I just write it down. I've seen
All
other
right.
people though get started with e-ink tablets, and they sync it with Org with Sync Thing because it's Android, but I don't use that, so I can't really attest to how good it is.
So has using Emacs led you to an expanded interest in programming and computer science? Sorry if I could have got that out of the presentation.
I think Emacs is what got me started with the Lisp specifically. Otherwise, I probably would have not really looked into it that much, other than like maybe dabbling in Scheme from the Structures and Interpretations of Computer Programs book. But I probably wouldn't have seen that if I hadn't discovered Emacs either, so. I was already into programming before Emacs, and I had used VS Code for a little bit, and then Viv. I think I've done most of my programming inside of Emacs in terms of like lines of code written, projects made.
So maybe we jump from there right to, you mentioned exporting notes, essays and so on, handing them on to other people. How does interaction with others work in technical terms? We mostly find workflows centered around like Microsoft products, and that makes sense to me. I have a day job where I have to work with a bunch of Microsoft products, and I know the workflows for that. So how do you manage your kind of Emacs-y and workflows? In terms of work sharing with people, yeah.
So for sharing with like my teachers or something, we use like Google at our school. So I'm very fortunate that I don't have to deal with Microsoft other than with very niche situations in which I can just use LibreOffice and then convert to DocX or something.
I heard that, Chef. That's how all my vendors all roll their eyes when they were, oh, you're a Microsoft shop. Ugh. Yep, heard. Then they're all Google shops too in education. Great point.
The for Google, I just if my teachers want like a Google Doc or something, I usually just copy paste what I wrote in Emacs and then still keep it anyway as like a side thing, because I don't really trust the cloud that much in terms of like losing it for later if I wanted to look at it. But for that, I don't really have too much problems. Hopefully I will find a way to figure it out when I get into university.
Awesome. Okay, well, I know we did it once already, but since this will be the end of the video, let me just open the floor one more time for, parting thoughts.
I'm not sure that I have any.
I mean, you said it pretty well, right? I hope kids, yeah. I hope my peers see this. I hope they realize other tools are kind of inferior from a gets things done standpoint. Saw your talk, heard that message in this Q&A. I think you did a great job. You don't have to say more, but just offering you the chance.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you, Daniel, and thanks to everybody watching this video during the conference or after it, and appreciate and look forward to your talks in the future, Daniel.
Oh, thank you.